Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by our friends Sam and Ash, Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Make sure you stop by salmonash.com if you need help. We are back here. We are talking Raiders football on this Tuesday. Of course, everyone's still digesting the 45-20 loss to the Buccaneers at Allegiant Stadium. The Raiders now 1-2 in their short history playing here in the Mojave in Las Vegas at the Big Al, the Death Star, whatever you want to call it. I'm fine with it. But this is your host, Scott Gulbranson, joined by my co-host, Q Myers. And Q, Tuesday, you know, it's interesting. I didn't think things were as negative as I thought they would be yesterday after a loss, and certainly not today. But I think, my friend, that's what goes with being a 500 team. Like 500, you're not really, really angry. And at 500, you're not really, really excited either.
Trying to figure out exactly what that means.
That just means you're kind of like blah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people upset. I think there's a lot of people that expect more from the team. I think a lot of people do understand what that last week was, and knowing that, you know, they were kind of behind the eight ball and had a lot of challenges in front of them that they had to try to overcome that clearly they weren't able to do. And I think a lot of people are looking for answers, you know what I mean? So maybe it's not the same type of anger or upsetness that, you know, might normally come out of a loss, but it's just like, hey, we as a fan base just need some answers to these questions. And a lot of it has to do with the defensive side of the ball.
It does. And clearly we're going to focus on the defense and talk a little about that. But also I want to focus the top of the next hour, Q. We're going to talk a little bit about the offense, because the reason I want to talk about the offense is because if the defense continues on its current trajectory, which there's there's nothing that I've seen that says that this defense is going to be consistently better yet. And we're through six games, right? So if that's the case, we're going to make that assumption for today. Not saying they can't get better. I'm just saying if it stays the way it is or around the same, then this offense is going to be under a lot of pressure to deliver. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Coming up towards the bottom of this first hour, Jesse Merrick from News 3 will join us. He covers the Raiders every day. We're going to talk to him about the defense, get his perspective on it, and talk to you as well. You can always give us a call at 702-365-9200. If it rings or you're waiting in line, don't get offline. Don't hang up. We will get to you. I want to make sure we get to that. We also have the Sam and Ash text line at 69186. If you're shy and you don't want to talk to Q or I, you can text us and we'll try to get it on the air as quickly as possible. Later in the show as well, on the back half, on the back nine for you golfers, it's going to be Michael Troiano, attorney Michael Troiano, who will be on with our biweekly NFL police blotter. So who's in trouble? What does it mean? We'll also talk to Michael some football. He's a big football fan. He has adopted the Raiders Q because he's a Vegas kid. He grew up, was born here, went away to college, came back. So his family was from Pittsburgh, so he was a Steelers fan. But he said once the Raiders decided to come here that as soon as they got here, that would become his team because he's a Las Vegas guy. But I'm going to ask him about the Steelers because they're 6-0.
Right. Yeah, they are. They're looking good, man. They look like a really good team. They're going to be one of those tough outs, man. When you got Big Ben back and you got the weapons they got, they're definitely going to be a tough out.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the issues in the AFC if you look at it. I mean, look at the Steelers. They get Ben Roethlisberger back, and it changes everything. It just goes to show you how important a quarterback can be, especially an experienced guy who's been through the fire a bunch like he has. But, you know, did you watch the game last night at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I ain't missing none of that.
No, Chicago, man. I don't know anybody. I bet them, so I lost my lunch. But I just can't believe that team actually was 5-1.
Well, they have a really good defense. They just, their offense stinks, you know? Yes. And so just kind of, they're the exact opposite polar offense of the Raiders. You know, their offense for the Raiders is really good and the defense stinks. So, I mean, they're showing that they can win games. And a couple bounces go their way, you know, they could be in that game. But the Rams were able to, you know, put some more points up on the board. And you could see that Chicago defense just really tired out towards the end. They were on the field so long. So I could definitely see that they have five wins on the season. And look, the Raiders get a couple bounces to go their way. They could have five wins on the season as well.
That's true. I think it shows in today's NFL, you have to have a good defense, but you also have to have a good offense. In the old days, back when I was young, you could literally score 12 to 16 points a game and win games,
right,
if you had a good defense. That times have changed when it comes to that, I think.
Yep.
You know,
No doubt.
No doubt.
But they scored their touchdown defensively.
They did.
Eddie Jackson's the dude, man. Eddie Jackson's a hell of a player.
He's good. Khalil Mack looked good. I know that's a sore subject for Raider fans, but he looked pretty good on the night. But that Rams team, everybody always wants to count them out, you know? Especially in that division where you have San Francisco back from the dead. You have Seattle, of course, with Russell Wilson, who's still sort of my MVP. And then you got the Cardinals, who are young and hot, and they don't seem to care what people think of them. They just go out and play.
Yeah.
It's a good division. All right. Well, we've had a day to kind of rumorate on this whole Raiders defense thing. And what we heard from John Gruden yesterday, it really was, I think it shocked some people, Q, because he in essence said we're going to make changes internally. We might change the scheme a little bit. We might change up who plays, but he didn't say what fans, or at least a lot of fans, wanted him to say, Q, and that was we're going to get a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, I mentioned it yesterday on the show. I went to bed Sunday night feeling like maybe that was coming because it sounded like the tone that he had and the way he had said it in the presser following the game, the loss to Tampa Bay, was that there was going to be some major shakeup like that. And ultimately there wasn't, you know. And so I've said it before on the show, you know, there's no reason to fire a guy just to say you're firing a guy. If you don't believe that he can get the job done, that's when you fire him, especially if you have somebody in place that you think can fill that void and do a better job. But if you don't, there's absolutely no reason to fire a guy just to say, oh, by the way, we fired a guy.
Yeah. It's interesting. The fan reaction, and I get it. You know, somebody has to be responsible. There's no question. I'm not arguing that. I just get a kick out of people who are fire Gunther, I hope you die, and all this. I mean, just terrible stuff you see in the cesspool. And then meanwhile, they're kissing the ass of the players who are not playing well either. So it's like, right. It's like, come on, man. You know what? Just be measured and say, hey, guys, you all need to do better. Coaches, players, everybody. And then, of course, we saw the Quinnen William rumor pop up again, not for the Raiders particularly, but just that he was available. And I'd be all for that at his age. And, yes, it would cost you a pretty penny. But he's one of those guys, Q.
He's worth it.
Yeah, he's young enough where we talked about it yesterday. He's young enough where I would give up a little bit of draft capital.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, he's a guy, he's only 23 years old. He could be a force on that middle of the defensive line for quite a while. You know, I mean, obviously he comes from Alabama, so he's coached up really well. He was a guy that, and Josh Jacobs said this after they were drafted, he thought, and Quinnen Williams thought that the Raiders were going to draft both those guys. Two Alabama guys going to be there on the Raiders, and they ultimately didn't because he went one pick ahead of them to the Jets. So I could definitely see that happening. I would like that. I was a Quinnen Williams fan going into the draft. Would have loved to seen him wearing the silver and black, but you know, like I said, the Jets got him one pick ahead of time. So that's a guy that I could see them giving up. I would probably offer, this would just be my offer because I'm going to try to be the lowball king, I'd probably offer like a third and a fifth and see what they say. Yeah. And then go from there.
Well, yeah, and just a few minutes ago the Lions acquired the Cowboys defensive end Everson Griffin, which I know a lot of Raider fans were high on him and thinking, well,
they can have him.
Yeah, let's go get him. I think his best days are best. And they got
I've seen so many people like, Raiders, are you serious?
Yeah.
You couldn't give up a, like, this dude hasn't done anything. He hasn't done squat in Dallas. Yeah. As as I very well know, nobody, no Raider or not, no Cowboy fan is saying anything about Everson Griffin like he was a good pickup. They've been saying to get rid of him since day one. He hasn't done nothing, even though he has like 2.5 sacks on the season, still hasn't been doing anything.
Yeah, and I'm going to play this sound. It was from yesterday or from the game, post game. Colton Miller, because I think Colton Miller, by the way, keeps flying under the radar. And is just, and that's what you want from an offensive lineman. You don't want his name. You don't hear his name mentioned every game because he's playing his butt off. But, you know, just to keep things in perspective, because when you're on the team, we had Hunter Renfro on the show yesterday for his segment here. And you can see those guys, you can tell that they're fine because they're even keeled. They're all still very positive despite the loss, despite the challenges. And Colton Miller talked about playing through that as well.
Throughout this year, it's always been a close game. I know the final score doesn't say that, but you know, we each week is going to be a tough one, and you know, we always stick in there and try to push through.
So that's Colton Miller just talking about playing those tough games. By the way, he sounds like he's 16.
You know, speaking of sound,
yeah.
Why post game is the Raiders' audio always so overmodulated?
You
it
know,
only happens post game.
It's interesting, Q. I have watched other teams who seem to have better audio, and I don't know why. But Bobby Machado, our producer, is going to jump on because he wants to talk about it because he cuts it all too.
I think I can offer something on that. If you watch the press conferences post game, you'll notice that Gruden. I mean, for a guy that's supposed to be a professional broadcaster, right?
Yeah.
He is eating that mic. He is right up on that thing. Meanwhile, you've got other guys like, say, Carr. He's about a foot back or so, and it's nowhere near as loud.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. So, Bob.
Well, I just noticed that after games, it always sounds overmodulated with all the guys. Just like Colton Miller right there, sounded overmodulated, but. Like just media sessions like you had on Monday.
Yeah.
Sounds fine.
Yeah. That's because they're in the practice facility.
Yeah, I agree.
They have a boom mic at the practice facility. So it's a little bit different. I think they have it. But even then, it's sort of like the NFL knowing that this was coming and that new facility with those video capabilities, it's surprising that it's not better. I agree with
that. Well, I'll tell you one real quick, and I know that we're not just talking about audio on the show today. I'll tell you, getting on the Cowboys post-game media thing is a disaster.
Is it bad?
Absolute disaster. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no, hey, you go. It's nothing like that. It's just like, hey, here's Zeke Elliott. Go. And then nobody says anything. And then Zeke will say, hello.
Yeah.
Hello. And then finally I'll jump up and say something. And then someone else will jump up. And then it's like five people at one time will say something. And it's just a terrible disaster.
Yeah, that's the Raiders do, and their PR staff led by Will Kiss. They do a great job with that because they monitor the chat in Zoom. And they basically will tell you when you're about to go. And then they'll tell you who's going next. And they keep a very orderly shop, which is really good. Yeah, that's
no
maddening.
Order.
That's
no
maddening.
Order.
All right,
with the Cowboys.
We got to go on the phone lines. We got listeners waiting, Q. And we go down to El Paso. So where they're under a curfew. Did you know that? El Paso Raider.
Yeah, I got family in El Paso.
Okay, so you know. Yeah, you got so El Paso Raider, you got to be in by what, 10 o'clock or whatever it is?
Yes, sir, man. Yeah,
wow.
It's getting ugly over here with this virus. Everybody's trying to fight it, man. But how's it going, fellas?
Good, buddy. What's up with you today?
I'm here to talk about the nasty defense. You know, first of all, I want to say I think the offense played great after all the circumstances and the turmoil that we're going through last week and all that stuff that happened, you know, all the distractions and all that. I think the offense played much, much better than the defense. You know, it looked like the defense was the one going through problems, you know, and to me is I don't like blaming nobody. I like to say fire this guy, fire that guy. But to me, it's more like how long is it going to take till we stop blaming the players? Yeah, the players need to get off their ass and start playing. But also, I cannot understand how these other players are pretty good in their previous position. They come over here, they seem like they're out of place, they're not in the right position, they're not there to make a play. And this past 2 years, we've been bringing in drafting players and bringing in FAs for Paul Gunther, and the results are getting worse instead of better. And the prime example is John Gruden. He keeps getting players for his offense, and every year you see a peak of the offense getting better and better and better. But this defense, this doesn't get any better at all, you know, and I'm very worried about that, because if we're going to keep bringing in players, drafting players, to fit his scheme instead of him fitting his it to his players, then I don't know how this is going to work, you know, because we can't keep bringing in players and drafting players and then wasting the talent from them. Now, in my opinion, we need a defensive tackle that can eat up inside next year and a linebacker that's a world beater, you know, someone that's going to set the tone, and another safety, in my opinion. But I don't know what they're going to do this next week or coming up, but they need to change that. Something needs to change, and to me, it's the scheme, because, I mean, you can't do a 3-13 and leave a running back on an island while you're playing zone. I just don't get that. And then you're playing cover one, cover three on a Bruce Arians offense that eats that for lunch all day? Nah, come on, man.
Yeah, El Paso Raider, I've always, great call, man, and be safe down there. Please, please stay safe. I can't argue with him. I mean, his whole call cue, completely dead on, valid.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, there's a point that Vic Tafer had. Obviously, he's our good buddy from The Athletic, been on the show multiple times. But he put out today, free agent signings, Corey Littleton, Nick Wachowski, Carl Nassib, and Malik Collins have combined for 5 tackles for a loss, 3 passes broken up, 1 quarterback hit, and half a sack with no interceptions. That's what the Raiders have gotten for all their free agent money that they spent on all those guys.
Right. And the point that El Paso Raider made is true, which is, okay, so why aren't the players performing? Is it scheme? Is it coaching? We talk about culture all the time. Is it the culture on the defense? I don't know. We'll have to see. All right, we're going back on the phones. Gangster Raider, you're back on with Scott and Q. What's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, y'all? I'm just trying to talk about kind of what the previous caller was talking about, but I think the problem with the defense is the change in defensive line coach, because it seems like Coach Buckner had the defensive line playing much better than they playing this year, and everybody keep talking about waiting for Malik Collins to come around. I had to go back and rewatch the game to see if Malik Collins even played against Tampa Bay. So between Rob Millinery not doing his job or not doing as good as Buckner was doing last year, and Malik Collins not showing up, I think that's what's holding on back the defense, because the only game that we had any pressure was the Kansas City game, and we should have won by double digits, but we won by more than a touchdown when we got some pressure from the defensive line. And Malik Collins didn't play that game, nor did Hurst play that game. So that leads me to believe that Malik Collins is expendable. We need to trade him for a big body corner or safety, somebody 6'3 or better, and then we need to bring back Vontaze Burfict. That'll help our defense a lot. And also, so I got a question for Scott. Mm-hmm. Do we end up having to pay Antonio Brown any more money? Because I know he was arbitrated. I don't know what happened with that. And also, as analytics, what do we rank analytically as a defense, you know, in the league, like top, bottom? I know we're in the bottom half, but are we 25th to 30th, or what? Where do we rank defensively, analytically, in the league?
Yeah, I'll look that up for you, Gangster Raider. Thanks. And you know, trading Malik Collins, there's no Markham for him. He hasn't done anything, like you said, Gangster Raider. You're absolutely right on that. He hasn't done anything expendable. Yeah, I mean, look, you're right about the Kansas City Chiefs game. He was hurt. Hurst was hurt. And they brought up Dayton Jones, my favorite name, and they got better production out of guys off the practice squad. They really did. I mean,
yep.
It's fact. So,
and that's what I think that they're going to do. Yeah, I think that's what John Gruden was referring to when he was talking yesterday. He said, we're going to have different guys out there. We're going to have a different scheme. You know, if we're only going to rush 4, we're going to have the guys out there that are getting home. And so you'll probably see some guys out there on Sunday against Cleveland that aren't necessarily starters that are, you know, out there starting, because they're the ones that are out there putting in the work.
Yeah, and Gangster Raider, I know you're still listening. The Raiders ranked 26th overall in defense, just ahead of the Cowboys, Vikings, Texans, Jaguars, Falcons, and Seahawks. That's where they're at. They're behind the Jets, the Bengals, the Titans, and the Lions, just by the way. So that's where they're at. All right, going back on the phones, Ryan in Las Vegas. Ryan, you're on with Scott Q here on Silver and Black today.
Thanks, guys. So I don't think there's any point in firing Gunther right now, because, yeah, you can make a change, but if you fire him, you're going to most likely promote Rod Marinelli from the D-line coach to the defensive coordinator, and the biggest struggle is the D-line. They're just not getting to the quarterback, and by not getting to the quarterback, you know, then the DBs are getting smoked off the line. So I think if you just ride out the season with Gunther and then make a change in the offseason, like you guys just said, what, 20, ranked 26?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to want maybe improve by making a change, what, maybe up to 24? You're not going to crack the top 20 this season. There's no way.
Yeah, I mean, I think
hopefully you're in the top 20.
Right, Ryan, great call, man. I appreciate it. And that's what I've said all along is, look, I know fans want scalps. They love scalps because then they can feel better that there's something being done. But at the same time, if you get rid of a guy and blow him out, they're not going to wholesale change his scheme in the middle of the year. They might change parts of it. But you've spent the entire preseason and camp getting ready for this, so you're not going to institute a whole new defensive scheme. You might, you might simplify it, which I think they're going to do anyway, Q, but you're not going to just, that's the thing. You want to fire everybody, but at the same time, what does it get you?
Not a whole lot. And really, you fire a guy, you're almost kind of saying like, hey, I'm not expecting a whole lot for the rest of this season. We just got to get this guy out of here, and we're going to let this guy roll in the interim. And, you know, like we've heard many times, Rod Marinelli's defensive line isn't really cooking with grease right now. They haven't really done anything too productive and too impressive. So, you know, that would be the natural guy that they would, put in that position as defensive coordinator. And I don't think that that's the right move. So, like I've been saying multiple times, if you're going to fire a guy, have a plan in place. Have an idea of exactly how you're going to improve as a team and why that guy not being there is going to help you improve. If you can't answer that question, there's no need to fire a guy.
Correct. And it's also not like the head coaching situation where you're trying, you know, you might, if you can fire a guy because then you can pursue somebody earlier before someone else grabs them. You know, with coordinators, a guy you're going to get as a coordinator is coming from somewhere else, okay? From either an NFL team, college, wherever you're going, okay? They're not going to drop their job and talk and come. You might have conversations, but there's no impetus to do it now and to do it that quickly.
They can't.
Right. They can't.
It's illegal.
It's interference, or what do they call it? Tampering. You can't.
Right.
You can't tamper with other coaches. So to fire a guy, unless it's gotten so you see that cue when the locker room has been lost, right?
Right.
And you got to change
culture.
Like in Dallas. There you go. Great example. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up the phone calls again, 702-365-9200, and then we'll also be joined by News 3 Jesse Merrick, our good buddy over there who covers the Raiders. He'll talk about all of this with us and with you on Silver and Black Today, only here on Raider Nation Radio.
Week by week, I feel a lot more comfortable. I feel like I'm progressing and getting better within this defense.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Go. Welcome back. Silver and Black Today. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Texas guy there, Q, for you.
It's all good.
Austin,
I'm with it.
Austin, Texas.
Austin's a cool city.
It is a great city. I used to spend a lot of time there once a year. I'd go down.
I don't know if it's great.
I go
it's
down.
It's cool.
It's cool in small doses.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
It's very San Francisco-like, in my opinion.
Yes. It is the one kind of bohemian city in Texas. I'll
yes,
put it that
exactly.
Way. There's,
and I'm not really a San Francisco guy.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm not. You know, I liked it when I was younger, and it was a little cleaner. San Francisco.
That's funny.
Walking around having to avoid human waste is not my idea of a good time anymore. So we're back. We're talking Raiders football. By the way, I was kind of like lacking energy today, Q, and I got through a bunch of work in the morning, and I was getting ready to get in the car, and I forgot that I didn't have my Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar today, and I'm like, ah, that's why, right? Mm-hmm. So Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars, you can check it out, drjensnutrition.com, where you can buy them, and using the code SBT10, you get a special deal plus free shipping. But today, I'm now 3 days in a row on my peanut butter and chocolate chip kick. I'm on the Q kip.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
I had the mint chocolate chip.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. But you guys have to check this out. All natural superfoods. No artificial sweeteners. They're gluten-free. Even some of them are vegan, if that's the direction you go. And it's just great, great product. Make sure you check out Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars in Las Vegas. You can also get them at Terrible Herps and all your local health food stores. All right, we're going back on the phones. Our good friend Salty in Fresno is here, and he's ready to shake it.
559.
How salty are you today, Salty?
I'm pretty salty. I mean, even though on Sunday, you know, they walked down the field and scored like it's nothing, you know, I was all pretty excited and jacked up. But, you know, as I'm hearing these calls, I mean, I think about it, guys, at the end of or the start of the season, if we would have saw that we were 3-3 after this brutal stretch of a schedule with how many distractions, how many ups and downs we've had on our roster, I think we'd all be pretty excited or happy. But the issue I have, and I don't think any of us can really put our finger on it, is it just seems like the defense, they're just missing something. And I don't know if that's like a player. I don't know if it's a scheme. Like, we can sit here and say it's Paul Gunther's fault, but it just seems like you're missing something. And I love fantasy football. I have Tampa Bay's defense on my squad. And that team just everywhere, top to bottom, just has it. And I've just wanted the Raiders to have it for 20 years since the Nnamdi Asamoah days, like when we actually had it. And I don't know what that is, and we can all sit here and say we know what it is, but it would just be nice to have the defense match a little bit of what that offense brings, because at least we're confident and we know the offense is going to score. But, yeah, a little still salty. Can't wait for – I think the end of the stretch here, I think we're going to come out 10-6. I think so. I think we've got a good shot at it. See you guys.
Nice. All right, Salty in Fresno. There you go.
You know, and I think that a lot of Raider Nation is the same way Salty is, representing the 559, by the way. Shout out to him. But, yeah, I think that a lot of fans are like that, man, just tired and waiting and hungry and just want that team to be good and solid and a winner again and defensively be solid, offensively be really good and be a force, you know, instead of every year it's like, oh, the hype, the buildup. We talked about it leading up to the season. Man, this is going to be the year, first year in Vegas, here you go. And why it's different than every other year. And then I feel like, you know, there's a couple of good games and Raider Nation gets all fired up. And then all of a sudden, you know, the kind of like the bottom falls out. And then you're like, oh, damn, here we go again. And look, this is not necessarily the key and the like statement on this season, because again, the team is 3-3 and still has a lot of football to be played. But I think a lot of Raider fans, going back to your point you made at the beginning of the show about, you know, a lot of guys and a lot of folks aren't upset and mad, it's because I think a lot of Raider fans is thinking, oh well, here we go, it's going to be another one of these win one lose one, turn out to be 8-8 and miss the playoffs again. I think that's where a lot of fans are right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. By the way, the Raiders have signed, you ready for this?
I'm already knowing.
Kemba Sivrand from, used to be with the Seahawks. You remember him, right, guys? You know, if you're a team that's had COVID issues, why not go sign the guy who was sneaking girls in to
Can't
camp?
Can't really get mad at him for trying to sneak a girl in.
No, but the whole COVID thing, it's sort of tone deaf in my view. But anyway. All right, that's the breaking news.
I've seen a lot of people talking about that, and that was, you know, training camp, and he was in there, and he's a rookie undrafted free agent, and I don't know. Guys make mistakes. I think he's probably learned from it since he's been basically not on a team since then. So we'll see. You know, maybe it turns into something. Maybe he ends up being a good player. Maybe he makes another mistake and he's out. I mean, who knows? Coach Gruden and everybody has said something to him about, hey, man,
maybe
you got to be on the right page.
Maybe, but I just think it makes your organization look bad in the midst of what you've been doing. But anyway, that's just my opinion. We're going to now go on the Newsmaker line, and we bring in our good friend Jesse Merrick from News 3. He's also fresh off an appearance on our own Just Pod Baby podcast with Evan Grote, so he spent a lot of time with us this week. Jesse, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing okay. Let's just dive right in. So this, I mean, the word of the week is defense, right? Or lack thereof. And, you know, you were active in the post-game press conference asking questions about it. And yesterday, John Gruden came out and said, look, we're going to solve it inside. We have We're going to make some changes, scheme changes. We might even make some player changes. But what do you make out of this and what the Raiders can actually do? Because they have done some things differently, included we heard when we had Cleveland Furrow on this show just a couple weeks ago. He told us they were simplifying the scheme a little bit, and they seem to make progress against Kansas City, Jesse, but then they go out against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and they look like they're back to square one.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe you want to de-simplify it, make it a little more complex now, because yeah, you had a little bit of success there against Kansas City, but you got to get something going. I went back and watched the game last night and was just kind of paying attention to the defensive line, and obviously that's been the hot button issue. Everybody's talking about what they're going to do there, and it just kind of seemed like they were just lining up and rushing straight, or lining up and getting pushed off the ball, right, left, back, whatever it is, when the Bucs wanted to run the ball. So I think, I mean, like Gruden said, it was some stunts, blitz. Do whatever you got to do to manufacture that rush, because what you're doing right now clearly isn't working. You've given up 190 points, which is the second most in franchise history through six games. That is unbelievable. So obviously you got to do something to mix it up. So why not blitz and see what you got going? Also, I'm sure you guys saw Damon Arnett tweeted that he's COVID-free and his hand is feeling better. So maybe he's coming back. So you could have your 1-2 punch to corner. You can have Abram back. You have a little bit more trust in your secondary moving forward too, maybe.
Well, going back to the defensive line and the struggles to get pressures on the quarterback, obviously Brady dropped back like 43 times, and I think Mo Hurst is the only one that even got near him. But besides, I mean, that is not even the factor. One of the things that Hondo Carpenter brought up to us yesterday was the fact that it just looked like a lot of those guys weren't really not given effort, but they just weren't trying hard enough to beat their one-on-ones. Is it just, do you think it's just a matter of going and getting guys that want to beat their one-on-ones, that are hungry enough to go and beat their one-on-ones, maybe even some guys that you had on the practice squad that performed well for you in the Kansas City game?
Well, I mean, one guy that I don't think you have to worry about is Crosby. Like, we all know that he's got a motor like nobody else. And obviously, he's gotten a couple numbers, but nothing that anybody is going to write home about. So obviously, we need more out of him. But you don't have to worry about his attitude. My big question mark, and I hate even going after guys, but on the D-line, on the D-tackle spot, you know, that's where we haven't seen anything, any sort of pressure right up the gut throughout the center of the pocket right there. And that's what you got to do to be able to get this quarterback or these quarterbacks to kind of leave the pocket, and that's where Klee and, you know, Max can start to eat a little bit more. So I'm just real interested to see kind of what they do in terms of personnel and how they mix it up. But I do think Mo Hurst has earned more of an opportunity just with the effort that we've seen from him, because any time that I've seen him out there, he's that dude that even if he doesn't get to the quarterback or it's a run or whatever it is, he's running downfield to go after the guy. So he's got the motor too. So you need to get the guys in there that have that relentless motor, that attitude, that just want it. And maybe some of those guys that haven't seen the field as much will bring a little bit more of that intensity. And you never know. That could just be the thing that kind of gets you going a little bit. You got to find something that works, because, again, it's not working right now.
Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas joins us, covers the Raiders on a daily basis. And Jesse, you mentioned it just there. I think, and Q mentioned it earlier too, and that is, I think that's, they got to get a little bit drastic with, hey, you know what, if you're not, they keep talking about next man up, right? And that's usually about injuries. But if I am Rod Marinelli and I am Paul Gunther, I start saying, all right, Cleveland Furrow, all right, Malik Collins, Dayton Jones is going to play in your spot. We're going to bring him up. We're going to activate him off the practice squad, and we're going to play him, because you know what? Against Kansas City, he actually got a push up the middle. Now, different teams, different lines, but I just think at this point, you know, we've all played sports where we've seen coaches sometimes say, "Hey, you know what? Yeah, you think this guy is just a reserve player, but you're not playing up to speed." And I think yesterday Hondo was right that you saw some guys whose effort was not up to snuff. And is that something you think about? Maybe you say, hey, look, guys, you know what? We're going to bring up some of these guys and let them compete this week, and if they play better than you, they're going to be active and you won't.
Man, let me ask you this question. If your boss told you, I'm going to take your seat on the air away from you and give it to somebody else and you can earn it back, what's that going to do to you? It's going to light a fire under your butt, and I think that's exactly what could happen. I mean, this is these guys' careers. Obviously, some of them are young in their career, and they still have a long career, hopefully, ahead of them. But, man, you take someone's job, that's going to motivate them. And as a coach, your job is to motivate. You got to figure out a way to do it. So maybe that's a way to get it done, and then see what they do with limited snaps, and maybe they earn their way back in. So
I don't know about you, but if someone takes something from me, I'm going to do whatever I can to get it back. So maybe that's something that does work.
Amen on that. Yeah, that's no the doubt. Exact way to think. You know, you always want to hold off the next man from taking your spot. As far as, you know, kind of looking at the big picture and the team being 3-3 after six games, you know, it's not ideal. It could have been better, but it also could have been worse. So what has just been your overall thoughts of what you've seen from the team in general this season?
To be completely honest, man, I've told you guys just a couple times I popped on with you, they're 3-3. Look at the gauntlet that they just run through. I mean, the Saints have had their ups and downs, but they're still a good team. They played the Patriots, who now obviously don't look like the Patriots. But then they played the Bills, Kansas City, Tampa Bay. I mean, those are some really good teams. And then when you look ahead to what's coming, I think there can be some optimism. You look at the schedule and what offense there really scares you. Obviously, Justin Herbert has been doing really well throwing the ball down the field, and Cleveland's been running it, and we saw what they did last week. But outside of that, and obviously Kansas City again, but outside of that, okay, Denver shouldn't be too scary. Atlanta, yeah, they've got some guys, and they can chuck it, but that defense, you should be able to get to work on them. New York, Indy, Miami, we'll see what Tua brings. So, I mean, there should be a light at the end of the tunnel that where you can look ahead and say, okay, if our defense can just be serviceable, our offense is good enough to win a shootout against most of those teams, just not, you know, the Kansas Cities or the Tampa Bays or the teams that are just going to score a ton of points.
No doubt about it. Now, when you look at this game against Cleveland, though, see, I'm going to go as far as to say that this is a must-win game for them. I would even be of the opinion that they could beat Cleveland and lose to the Chargers, and I would still be okay with that. I think this Cleveland game, though, is one you go on the road. It's coming off this loss at home by 25 points. You think they have a good shot? I mean, you have Baker Mayfield kind of had a good game, but I look at the Raiders offensively and the way they match up with Cleveland, and I think they have a good shot. I think Derek Carr is going to have a big day, and if they can win this game, get back home, and then have to go down to Los Angeles, which would usually be a home game of fans were allowed in, by the way. They have a good shot against the Chargers, too. But to me, this one's like a must-win.
Yeah, I would say it probably is so. I mean, you know, you've got the Raiders being in the playoff picture for that last spot or the expanded spot. Well, the Browns are also one of those teams that's in contention for that. So if you want that last spot, you've got to be able to beat teams that are also in that area as well. So, again, don't like attaching the must-win to it. But I think this is one of those ones that you must win to prove to yourself that, hey, even if we can't beat, you know, the elite, the upper echelon teams, we can beat these other playoff teams, and then from there you continue to build off of that.
What have you seen from the offense in general? Obviously, the defense is something we've been concentrating on all week just because of, well, what we saw on Sunday and, you know, what we've seen throughout the course of the season. But the offense, to me, looks like it's doing really well. Scott mentioned Derek Carr having a big day this upcoming Sunday, but I thought he did a really good job on Sunday against the Buccaneers, even though it came in a loss. It looks like this offense is doing pretty well, and it has room to grow as well.
I agree with you, man. I mean, I haven't looked at the rankings, but I believe they're still a top 10 offense or somewhere around there. And I mean, again, look at all the injuries that they've had. You know, obviously, you know, they haven't had Tyrell Williams all year, but then if they're talking about hopefully getting Bryan Edwards back in the mix soon. You know, Gruden talked yesterday about needing to get Ruggs the ball more. You've got to imagine that once they get healthy along the offensive line, Josh is going to get cooking again. So, that's the thing, is you like what they've done. And even look at the numbers in terms of points that they've managed to score against some of these teams that they've played against. Obviously, you know, the game got a little out of hand there at the end against the Bucs, and then Carr throws the interception. So the score looks a little more crooked than it was. But this is an offense that can get going. And, again, they just need that serviceable defense to hold on to it and not let the game get out of hand. But I like what the offense is doing as a whole. And I think Gruden has been real creative in some of his play calls and things like that. Again, it's just getting Ruggs involved more. Even when Josh Jacobs isn't rolled, I think that will help to open things up for everybody. Because, again, Ruggs just has that elite speed. How many times have we all thought when Ruggs gets going, the different dynamics that he brings to this offense?
No doubt about it. Jesse Marek is our guest from News 3. And before he lets you go, Jesse, you know, the trade deadline's coming up next week to coincide right around Election Day and Q's birthday, by the way. When you look at this, we've heard really the only sort of quote-unquote rumor we've heard around is Quinnen Williams of the Jets, who's a good interior defensive tackle, the kind of guy you said the Raiders need. Q mentioned maybe a third and fifth round pick or something like that. Would you be willing, if you're the Raiders, knowing how much they value their draft capital at this point in the rebuild, would you part with those draft picks to get a Quinnen Williams?
You know, this is one of the few that I think I would. I mean, he's young, obviously. I'm a bit, not, I wouldn't say biased, but I know a little bit more about Quinnen because I actually covered him in college when he was at Alabama. And that kid was a freak of nature. I think if you get him there with, you know, some of the guys along the offensive line or on the defensive line that have that motor, and obviously Quinnen's one of those dudes, he's a good character guy, he's got a high motor, I think he could start to produce a little more because, again, remember how Coach Gruden talked about the fact that Malik Collins was going to be kind of the linchpin for their defense. Well, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody that can be that anchor, that linchpin type of guy, and they need it from that D-tackle spot. I think Quinnen is a guy that could come in and do that and, man, start to generate some sort of pressure. And, again, if you get one guy in there that starts to command those double teams or really gets into the backfield, that's going to open things up for everybody. And I think Quinnen is a guy that you can do that with because he's young, he's still on that rookie deal, going to be for a couple years, and you can kind of roll and build your defensive line off of the other young guys that they've got in the mix there. So I think he's a guy that it would be worth giving up that draft capital for. But if the Jets are asking any more than, you know, that third and fifth, that's where you really got to start to think of it. I don't think I'd give up a second or a first-round pick for him.
There you go. Jesse Merrick, News 3 here in Las Vegas. Good friend of the show. Also great on television when you watch him cover the Raiders. Jesse, thanks again, man. We'll talk to you really, really soon.
Of course. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right. There you go. You can also listen to Jesse was on the Just Pod Baby podcast, which you can also download as well. So you're getting your dose of Jesse. We're going to get in a caller queue before the break. We're going out to the Empire State. D Nice in New York. You're on with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Like the show.
Thanks, man.
I was, for the first time in a long time, impressed with the defense against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And there was three guys that played in that game that we really never even heard of. Chris Jones, Dayton Jones, and Vickers, Kendall Vickers. They had Arden Key kind of roaming around like a wild man, and they were able to disrupt what the best offense in the league was doing at the time. What it just seems simple. Why didn't those guys play? Why did we, you know, I think we made, we let Collins, we brought back Hurst and Collins, but, you know, the week before, or 2 weeks before that, those guys were wrecking the Chiefs offense. For the first time in a long time, I was impressed. And we all know what we saw last week or a couple days ago. I don't know. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you guys think about it. What, I mean, it just seems simple. Put those guys back in. Take Key off the end, let him roam around. It worked against the best offense. It's got to work.
Yeah.
Thanks for the time.
Thanks, D-Nice. We appreciate you calling out all the way from New York. And Q, he brings up a good point there. We mentioned it with Jesse, which is, hey, let those guys go at it in practice. And if I'm John Gruden and John Gunther, or Paul Gunther, excuse me, I'm saying to my guys, listen, it's, every position is now open.
Right, of course. I mean, that's what you do. I'd rather go down swinging with the guys that are out there giving me their all than the guys that have names and have, you know, maybe a Captain C on their chest and they're not giving you what you got them in there to give. I mean, and Malik Collins has been a huge disappointment. And, you know, I've seen him do really well in Dallas. I've seen him perform really well, do some good things in Dallas. He hasn't done that. And I don't care about his familiarity with Rod Marinelli. He's not getting it done. He was being brought in for a reason. He was supposed to be a difference maker on the defensive line. He's not doing it. So sit his butt down. You know, put someone in there who wants to perform and be the guy. And that goes for the rest of the squad. And I'll say with Arden Key, I think he was good in that game against Kansas City because he was basically used as a spy on Patrick Mahomes, who's going to move around a lot.
Exactly.
But every other quarterback's not going to really be that guy. Maybe Baker Mayfield a little bit, so maybe he gets a little bit more burn. But Arden Key, in my opinion, ever since he's been a Raider, he's been a disappointment. I mean, he's just like an athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's back there in the backfield, but he's never, ever completing the deal.
Yeah, He doesn't close the deal. And I'll tell you that one thing before we got to hit a break here is that that was the difference. You know, you talk about the what they were able to do against the Chiefs versus the Patriots. The goal against the Chiefs was to get Patrick Mahomes out of the pocket moving around and disrupt him with Key as the spy, right?
Right.
With Brady, it was different. With Brady, they needed to push in the middle of the pocket because Brady's not a threat to run out of the pocket, okay?
No.
So you had to collapse the pocket. So there was two different goals there. Yes, it's the same as far as you want to disrupt the quarterback, but you were disrupting them both in very different ways, which is why I think you saw some different looks as well that didn't work out for the Raiders. Okay, we're going to step aside now, take a break on the other side. We'll come back. We're going to talk about all of this malaise on the defense. What about the pressure that creates on the Raiders offense to do more than they maybe have to or should to win games here in Las Vegas this year? You're on Silver and Black today with Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson. We'll be back right after this.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gilbranson and Q Myers.
We are Scuttle Button here on a Tuesday in the City of Lights, in the City of Sin, in Las Vegas, Nevada, home to your Las Vegas Raiders. Your boy Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson, back talking Raider football. We're going right back on the phone lines. 502 Raider D is back on the air. What you got for us today, big fella?
How you doing, fellas? How's everything going?
Good, man.
Chilling.
Good. So check this out. I want to try to. I do this to my kids sometimes. I mean, my wife sometimes when they're wrong and they just let emotions get caught up in what they do. Pump the brakes, man. Listen, we don't coach for a reason. We have other jobs that we do. I was mad when Gruden first came and Gunther was going to be our defensive coordinator because I never thought. I live in Louisville, Kentucky, so I'm not that far from Cincinnati, so I've been in a couple games with a friend of mine. I never thought that he was a great coach. I thought he was a good coach, but not great. What's going on here, gentlemen, is the fact that the defense has lost its way from the beginning. We played a couple of good games. We need players that want it more. You know, bringing in Malik Collins, everybody's going to make mistakes as far as people that they bring in. We've had a few here recently. But you're not going to hit on all of them, man. You're not going to hit all of them. What you got to do is hope and pray to God that Quinton Williams is available and pay what's needed to happen. Because let me tell you something. I always liked Maurice Hurst in the pick we had. I know he had some heart conditions and stuff. The reason why he was there for us to pick up. I've always liked that kid. I always liked his motor. You put him next to Quinton Williams, and I promise you, our secondary is going to look better. Our linebackers are going to look better, and our defense is going to be good. Because either way, we have got to draft a defense tackle. Why not pick up a guy that we already know what we're getting, and try to fix half of this stuff, man? But he's not going to fire Gunther. Gunther's his boy. That's his friend. He's liked him forever. I don't know why, but he has. If he fires him, it'll be the end of the year. They're not doing a midseason change. Pump the brakes, Raiders fans. Drink some bourbon. Love yourself. I'm out.
502 Raider D, always good times.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he said anything that we haven't said.
No.
I mean, I brought up the point. Don't fire a guy just to fire a guy.
Right.
You know, fire a guy if you got a plan.
Right.
You know, also brought up the point, if you go get Quinton Williams, you know, I wouldn't give up the farm for him, but I would have no problem giving up a third and a fifth, 23-year-old, who really looked like he was starting to come into his own really this year. He hasn't been that great since he's been in the league, but he has started to play a lot better as of this year, so I could see something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's guys that, like you mentioned, or like he mentioned, that they brought in that haven't performed. And if you have hungry guys on your roster and you think that they want to be out there and they want to perform, put them in the game.
That's right. Love it. 502 Raider D, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it. Okay, it is the top of the hour. 1 hour in the books on this Tuesday as we continue to go on. They haven't fired us, so we're going to continue to roll into the second hour. Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson, Silver and Black today. Don't go anywhere. We'll get right back to it here on Raider Nation Radio.